Here's your host.
Welcome to the Live, Love and Eat show. My name is Bernadine Otto. I'm a certified transformational nutrition coach, an EFT practitioner, and I'm also the managing editor of a magazine called the Live, Love and Eat magazine. The Live, Love and Eat podcast is all about health and wellness. We interview health experts who have all overcome their own personal life and health challenges. Learn all about health, fitness, nutrition, spirituality, wellness, and so much more. This podcast will change the way you live, love, and eat. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Live, Love and Eat show. Now, our special guest today is Alex Bales. Now, Alex is a personal trainer turned transformational life coach, focuses on showing people how to overcome negative cycles of self-sabotage and addiction in their life. His mission is to show adults how to seamlessly break free from negative cycles into self-fulfillment and reinvent their lives to create authentic happiness. Welcome, Alex.
Yes. Hey, thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be here and share some awesome stories and insights with your audience.
It's an honor to have you today, Alex. So before we start, tell our listeners, you know, your story, because we all have a story. How did you get started in your career? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I've gone through like tons of different phases of my life, and I've kind of got a long story, so I'll try to make it as concise as possible here. So as a young kid, I always had a lot of health issues. I was always getting sick with like strep throat, the flu. It was like I just couldn't keep it together. And also as a baby, when I was born, I was a NICU baby. So I got tangled up in the cord on my way coming out, and I swallowed fluid, and my heart actually stopped at one point. Whether or not that has anything to do with the health issues that I experienced growing up, I don't know, but I sometimes speculate, you know, that might have something to do with it. But nonetheless, I got into high school, and I was initially a really sought after athlete at a very young age. I competed and performed at a very high level, but as I got deeper into high school, I had, a coach that was very, very difficult for me to be around. I would say verbally abusive, and I wasn't the only one. There were more than one individuals that struggled with this person, but it really took a toll on me and my performance. And I always thought that as a man, it made me weak to feel what I was feeling because I was so depressed and detached. And in reflection, I was in full on apathy. But when you're 18 years old, you're very impressionable. You don't know how to deal with these things. So to make a long story short, I still ended up actually going away to play college baseball just at a small school. It wasn't really what I wanted to do, but it was just kind of the path that had been laid out in front of me. And I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. So I go away, and about 2 weeks into my freshman year of college, I come down with Epstein-Barr virus, which is similar to mono, except it's a little bit more extreme. It lasts a little longer, and it really manifests itself in chronic fatigue. So it took them actually about 6 months to figure out that I had Epstein-Barr, at which point it had turned into chronic fatigue for about another year. After that time passed, I had lost about 50 pounds. I had lost all my muscle mass, and my health had really, really gone to crap. So I started exercising a little bit. I had been an athlete my whole life. And so it wasn't like I was unfamiliar with exercise and being active. And at the time, I had some friends that were dabbling with steroids and anabolics and things like that. And they were like, oh, hey, this might be something you may want to try. It would help you to kind of get back to where you were pretty quickly. And I really didn't have anything going for me at that point in my life. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Little did I know, and this is how most people get hooked on drugs and substances, obviously, I said I was just going to do one cycle, and one cycle lasted 2 to 3 years. this led me into, there were other things that came along the way too that had a big role in who I am now. One of those is I got into, at the time, a really nasty relationship that turned verbally abusive as well. And that really took a toll on me. So things are just slowly, slowly spiraling downhill. I ended up taking a job that I absolutely hated, but I just took it for the money. And I was training jiu-jitsu, I was exercising, I was going to school full time. And eventually I just hit a point where I literally, you know, I ran myself into the ground and developed the worst case of adrenal fatigue you could ever imagine. I stood up one day and I literally fell back down in my bed. I felt absolutely detached from my body and exhausted. And this really was kind of the final straw for me, because this sent me into a dark, dark, dark place. I got to a point where I was working nights at the time, and I was coming home from work, and so that I could numb out and detach from what I was feeling, I would actually literally drink 2 bottles of wine and chug NyQuil straight out of the bottle so that I would sleep all day. And then I would use like cocaine and other substances to wake up and get me through the night. So I'm stuck in this loop for quite some time. And I started contemplating ways to kill myself and to bring it all to an end. I used to get down on my hands and knees and ask God every day to take it away from me and to heal me and to help me and to have the courage to change. And, you know, one day in my darkest moment, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, I had a moment of clarity. And, you know, some people might call it like an enlightenment experience. To me, I just know God is God. And I just felt like it was God speaking to me. And I just felt really guided and I felt really loved. And I got the help that I needed and I completely changed everything. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I was forced to reevaluate and completely reinvent myself from square one. I had to learn how to exercise again. I had to learn how to eat again. I had to learn how to take care of myself, when to rest, how to listen to my body. And most importantly, how to love myself again, because if you don't have self-love, what's the point in anything? You know, that's how you should live your life. You should just love yourself. And we're meant to be free as human beings, you know? So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help people reinvent themselves, because, you know, I've been there and I know what it feels like to hit rock bottom and, quite frankly, to not want to be alive anymore. So my goal is to help people feel alive and to want to be alive. You know, that's my sole purpose.
Your story is amazing. And, you know, people will think amazing, but, you know, going through your whole transformation and, you know, where you are now, you know, I call this transformation. So I want to talk a little bit about, you went through this dark place and, you know, how did you use this darkness as your greatest asset? So how will you tell somebody that, you know, go through a dark place, how do that person get themselves out of it? Because, I mean, it's easier said than done, isn't it? To tell people, you know, you should just do this and this and this. But how do you get yourself to where you get yourself out of this darkness, you know?
Yeah, there's so many things and I could go off on so many tangents. But I think the first thing to do is honestly just to become aware of what's going on, to be honest with yourself about what you're feeling in your heart. Until you do that, you can't move forward. So let me give you an example. An example would be, you know, I've been to many Alcoholic Anonymous meetings, right? And the first thing you have to do is acknowledge the fact that you're an alcoholic, right? Well, you know, it seems simple. Most people miss that very first step, and that's why they relapse, because they're not willing to be honest about themselves, about what they've been through, about what they're feeling, about where they want to be, and what their dream is. And so that's the first step. I would say just become aware. And then honestly, make it really fun. It doesn't have to be this miserable process. If you have a vision in mind and you hold that vision dear to your heart and you move forward and you just allow the process to move forward with the right intention in mind, I really think that you're going to get where you want to be. A lot of times, you know, I see all these people and they're saying, like, I'm trying to do this and I want this so bad. Well, you know, wanting it implies that you don't have it. And I think that my new way is I now allow things to unfold. That's what I've learned. This is a really important one, I think, for most people to hear. So hold your dream dear to your heart. Know where you want to go. Get the clarity that you need. And then allow the process to unfold. If you just focus on what's right in front of you, a lot of times things will fall into place. And it might not be exactly what you think. So you might go and you might take a new job. And it might not be exactly the job that you want, but you might meet someone at that job who has a connection, who can set you up with where you want to go. You never know how things are going to unfold in your life. So I think it's just about really connecting with that future version of yourself, trusting. Allowing means that you have faith, that you have trust in the process. So just knowing where you're going to go and allowing it to unfold right in front of you, and just having faith in your heart that God's going to provide what you need.
Yeah, I agree so totally with that. You know, I think consistency is key. You know, I mean, where I come from, my addiction was food, you know. Eating, getting stressed, and then I start eating. And, you know, there's lots of people with a lot of addictions out there. It can be alcohol, it can be pills, it can be food addiction, you know, anything that's addiction. And just get yourself, you know, to go through that next step, you know, and just to go out of your comfort zone. I call this comfort zone. And just, you know, take that first step, just, or talk to somebody, you know, somebody, your loved ones, or a coach can help you as well. You know, now I want to talk a little bit about self-love, because self-love is, you know, I can talk hours about self-love. You know, how do you teach, or how did you start loving yourself? You know, again, it's easier said than done to tell people, just love yourself. But how do you get to that point where you can start loving yourself just the way you are, but working towards, you know, what you want in life?
Sure. So again, I think, like, kind of similar to what I just said, it's about knowing what your vision is. Mm-hmm. But a simple thing that I like to do, or I like to tell people, is you have to create the space for what you want to unfold. So for me, I found self-love in meditation and in prayer. So one of the things that I used to do, like I said, is I used to get down on my hands and knees, and I used to ask God for the help that I needed, for the guidance, for the courage to take the steps in the right direction. And I believe that that's one way we can create space for something to work and to come in and to fill our hearts back up. But I think the more powerful thing for me was just meditation. Coming to a centered place where, you know, my mind just wasn't running crazy anymore. And I could actually be honest with myself about who I was, where I wanted to be, and just be my authentic self. That's a great place to start for self-love. I think that it's just being truthful and honest is the first place. And from there, maybe you just start small, you know? So I've got my four tenets of health that I really like to kind of abide by, that I think about on a regular basis. So that is, do you get the right amount of movement? Are you, like, sleeping or getting enough rest? Is your nutrition in place? And do you have a spiritual practice? So maybe just focusing, it doesn't have to be radical. Start small and just start. Start with whatever that means to you. So if you have an intention that you want to eat healthy, start by eating a vegetable at every single meal, and just allow it to evolve over time, and give yourself permission. This is so important. Give yourself permission to fail and mess up over and over again, because you are going to fail your way to figuring yourself out and to finding self-love. So just trust it and just let it come to you. And it'll show up if you just keep trying over and over again. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I believe that, you know, that, you know, we are all humans on this journey. And, you know, there is days that we are going to fail. I always say fall off the wagon.
Yeah.
And the next day you just get back on that wagon. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I always tell my clients just one step at a time, you know, just one step at a time. Don't look to tomorrow or, you know, or what happened yesterday. Just be in the now. And, you know, that is just like, and as well, like you said, meditation as well. You know, if you start meditating, you don't have to sit there for half an hour. You know, meditating because when you start meditating, it's something that you get used to, you know, and you can start with 5 minutes a day and just, you know, be in the now. And, you know, there's so many apps out there with self-meditation, you know, that you can, self-guided meditation that people can follow and, you know, and go from there.
Yeah, I agree. So like my meditation practice is actually a great example of how things evolve over time. So I literally started with the Headspace app and I would do like 3 minutes. And I can remember being just furious and angry because I was like, I can't figure this out. I don't know what I'm doing. And then I, you know, I've been meditating. I've probably missed, 5 days in maybe 3 years. You know, I got up to a point where I was doing like, I was really getting into Joe Dispenza's work and I was doing like an hour 15, an hour and a half. And then, you know, that was good for the time, but then you just get to a point where it's like, well, that's been great. And I've done the work now, what can I sustain over time? So now I just do 20 minutes every morning. That's enough for me to get myself to a good centered place. And, it's not too radical. And I have other goals and things I'm working on right now. So I don't want to spend an hour and a half meditating every day.
Yeah, no, meditation is something that, you know, when I started meditating, I was thinking about what am I cooking tonight? What am I going to buy at the shop? You know, so you have to like just get into it and just like practice that as well. Now, I want to go a little bit to, I know you are a personal trainer as well. So
yeah.
A little bit back in exercise as well.
Yeah, so, let's do it.
You know, you work with people every day, exercises. You know, if somebody, you know, starting to get healthier as well, and they want to do exercise, they want to go into exercise, they didn't exercise like in 4 years, say, for example, how do they get into, what exercises is the best to start doing? For a person that never exercised for like 4 years and want to go on this healthy journey, and what advice would you give people like that?
All right. I love talking about this stuff because, you know, okay. So somebody comes into me, they haven't exercised in like 4 years. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here and then circle back. So anymore in the fitness industry, the basics aren't sexy. Nobody wants to hear that because they don't sell. Everyone's all into, you know, the high intensity interval training or the fancy diets, or you've got to train 6-7 days a week. And that's just not the case. If somebody comes to me, we're going to focus on, I personally like just 2 days a week of strength training and just some really low impact stuff 4 to 5 days a week. So like 20 minutes of like some walking or some stairs 4 to 5 days a week and 2 days a week of strength training focused on four things. So some type of upper body push, some type of upper body pull, a hip hinge. And then for those of you who don't know what a hip hinge is, that's like a deadlift type motion, and then a squat. And so what I do is I look at their body frame and I look at their mechanics and we make a determination together as to what the best movement for their specific frame is. So for me, it's like weighted dips, pull-ups, front squats and barbell deadlifts. But for you, it might be something completely different. And so everyone thinks that you need these fancy complex training programs. Wrong. You need a good intention, a solid goal in mind, and the mindset. I call it a ferocious mindset. You just need to go in and you just need to dial it in and attack a few things consistently. And I promise you will see the results that you want to see. It's really more about the mindset, the intention that you attack the program with than the program itself. Because Dan John, who's a great strength coach, says every program works until it doesn't. And I completely agree with that.
I just love that. And It's just like you said, you know, it's not just about the fitness. It's not just about the nutrition. It's about mental health as well. You know, what's going inside. I always, you know, I always say that if you heal your inner self, you will heal your body overall. You know, if you have all those things, fitness, nutrition, and mentality, you know, mental health, in place, you know, you will see such amazing transformation.
Absolutely.
So that's the work that we are doing out there. You know, I know if a few years ago, it was just about you have to do cardio like an hour long, you know, every day to see results, you know, you have to do this, you know, calories in and out. And, you know, it changed a lot around time, you know, how people are exercising and nutrition and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I just see people doing way too much, and it's not adding to their life. It's actually taking away from their life. We've got a society that's, you know, I'll quote another person that I look at as a mentor, Paul Check. He says, we've got a bunch of fit, sick people. So we've got a bunch of people that are just like run into the ground and I've even used exercise as a means to distract myself and escape my problems. You can have an exercise addiction as well. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I think it's just about creating the space for you to have just that right amount of work that's going to enhance your life without taking away from it. And it's just really more about the intention that you attack the program with. And the other thing you said, you know, speaking to mental health, a lot of my clients are surprised, you know, because I like to have deep conversations with my clients, and they're like, I'll ask them, like, what are you passionate about? Like, where do you want to go? You know? And they'll ask me what I'm passionate about. And they're appalled when I say mental health is my passion, even though I'm training them. And it's like, they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And to me, this is all just part of a spiritual journey. Whether it be your nutrition, your exercise, your sleep, taking care of yourself, your relationships is super important. This is all just part of a spiritual journey. Your body could fall apart on you. Your health can fall apart on you. You can lose everything. But if you love yourself and you're in a good space mentally, nobody can take that from you.
I love that. I just love that. And it's amazing what you say. If you start loving yourself, I just think magic starts to happen, you know, around you, your relationships. And yeah, it's amazing. Now, I want to ask you this last question. And what advice will you give to somebody who wants to get healthier?
Yeah, to get healthier. I would say just start. Start small. You know, every tree starts with a seed, and you don't have to be perfect. Like I said, give yourself permission to fail, to mess it up, to be unsure of yourself, to not be confident, but just allow it to come into your life and just start. You know, like I said, if it means with your nutrition, eating a vegetable at every meal, if it means just getting to the gym once a week, even to start, just start, and you'll build the confidence over time. Taking that first step is the hardest part, but it is always worth it. You will never regret taking that leap of faith and really trying to take your health back, because it's really all we have at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love that. I just love that. It was such a pleasure to have you today. You are doing amazing work out there. Your story is fantastic. You're helping people transform. And it was an honor to just have you today and talk to you about everything on health, nutrition, and well-being.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor. And I'm so grateful that we connected. And I hope that we can talk again soon. Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This is your host, Bernadine Otto. Thank you for listening. If you love this show, please go and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode.